we're going to begin, and if you would go with me to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, chapter number 29. We're going to talk about tonight the importance of not losing the power of prayer, or should I say, the importance of not forgetting the power of prayer, and how God puts much emphasis on the responsibility of His children to see His work accomplished the way He's planned it to. He wants His people truly praying, and we're going to talk about that. If you go to 1 Chronicles chapter 29, I'm going to begin reading. Did I say first? I am so sorry. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. I thought I said a second. But 2 Chronicles chapter 29, please. And we'll begin reading there with Hezekiah. 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 1. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street and said unto them, Hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God, and have forsaken Him, and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord, and turned their backs. In verse 7, and they have shut up the doors of the porch, and put out the lamps, and have not burned incense, nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. You see, what had happened here, church, is that Hezekiah is now on the scene, and he is going to bring restoration, and if you will, God's going to bring revival through this king. You'll remember before, we don't have time to look, but Ahaz, the leader before Hezekiah, had pretty much shut down the temple, had closed the doors, and forget about the incense, forget about the table of Shobet, forget about the worship of Jehovah God. He went to his own way of worshiping, and it ended very badly for him and that nation. But God sent his servant Hezekiah, and he's going to understand that first things first, we need to restore the worship of Jehovah and restoring the temple. I want us to focus in just for a moment here on that verse in verse number 7. It says here, also they have shut up the doors of the porch. And I want you to see this. And put out the lamps and have not burned incense nor offered burnt offerings. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I do want to ask you to help us tonight to be strengthened in our resolve to do our part, and seeing the power of the Holy Spirit work in our church, to work in this family conference, to work in our homes, in our own hearts. Please help us, Lord. We need you desperately. And I do ask this, trusting that you will meet our needs. In Christ's name, amen. See, you see what happened. Hezekiah understood immediately that he was going to have to restore the importance of worship. One of those things was, is that we see that he was going to have to, he noticed that they haven't been burning incense. And in Scripture, we will see, as you notice in different passages, the incense was symbolic to God's people praying. The incense, the altar of incense, we'll see that here in just a moment, was symbolic to, number one, the high priest was praying right before he would enter into the holiest of holies. We see this is just a small example, just a model that was set up. This is the altar of incense would be right here. The holiest of holies would be right through these curtains. The high priest would come in, and he had to put together a special recipe of incense together to burn unto the Lord. It was super important to Almighty God. It was vitally important to follow exactly what God had commanded to put together for the incense. And what did it represent? It represented the praise and prayers to Almighty God. And we see also, and this passage here would be an example of the high priest there at the altar of incense with the sweet aroma going up to God and symbolic again of the prayers of God's people going up before Him. God has always emphasized the importance of prayer and how it pleases Him and does marvelous things. We see that in Scripture that incense was symbolic of the prayers of God's people. We notice it in several places. We notice it in Psalm 141, verses 1 and 2. Lord, I cry unto Thee. Make haste unto me. Give ear unto my voice when I cry unto Thee. Get it? Let my prayer be set forth before Thee as what? As incense. And lifting up my hands as the evening sacrifice. We see that it was symbolic of prayer. We also see in the book of Revelation, chapter 5, verse 8, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. You see, odors, that's the same Greek word that's used for incense that we'll see here in just a minute. Same thing. The incense or symbolic of God's people praying. Do you know God is taking account of every one of our prayers? Every prayer you pray at home, in your car, in this church, wherever you are, God is taking account of every one of them. They're precious in His sight. They please the Lord. We see that also in Revelation chapter 8, verse 4, and the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. You see, church, we see clearly that there in that passage of Scripture in Chronicles, what had happened? The ministry of prayer had become unplugged. The worship of Jehovah had become unplugged, and there was filthiness in the temple. And Hezekiah said, we got to get that filthiness out. You Levites, you get in there, and let me paraphrase. You Levites, get in that temple and clean house. Get that temple cleaned. Get those altars built back up. Get those lampstands lit. Get the showbread table set. Get the altar of incense going. We want to see the hand of God back in this place. And that's what I'm praying that God would do in this family conference. I'm praying that He would do a true renewal in our hearts and helping us understand the power of prayer, not just in this church, but in the home. As a husband, as a wife, as a teenager, as a college student, as a career, as a grandmother, grandfather, wherever, I am praying that the Lord would show us our great responsibility of restoring our dedication to pray as a family, as individuals, to see the hand of God move. Here are just a few things that I'm praying that you'll see on the prayer list there that I'll hand out here in just a minute. One of the things I'm asking God to do in our lives is to renew. You can't quite read it up there, and again, I apologize, but it says, pray for a spiritual renewing for the following things. One is family prayer. Lord knows we need that, don't we? Where we get around, some people call it the family altar, some people call it family devotions, but where God's people get together, His family, mom, dad, members, or if it's a single parent home, whatever the case may be, and where we can get together with our family and pray. I know we're in a busy world today, aren't we? Sometimes those are the hardest, those are the biggest battles sometimes in our home. I don't know about yours. Mainly because at the end of the day, guess what? Everybody, mostly everybody, is tired. And with tiredness comes what? Moodiness. And with moodiness comes, well, you know, lots of things. arguments, misunderstandings, disputes, and you don't find yourself getting in the spirit of prayer sometimes very easily during those times. But the truth of the matter is, God wants us to be renewed in that. Husbands and dads finding renewal in this conference. Wives and mothers, grandparents, aunts and uncles and siblings having a godly influence. I'm praying that children and teens will be renewed in their honor and obedience to their parents as unto the Lord. I'm praying that there will be renewal in parents and children being delivered from the spirit of anger and bitterness. And parents, if we're all honest in here, it is a temptation for all of us. Can I tell you something? When you respond wrongly to a child, when they have disobeyed, even blatantly, and you respond with frustration and scour and truly in the flesh, that's a spirit of anger. God wants us to discipline and correct and hold our children accountable, but He wants us to do it in the Spirit, by the power of the Spirit. And the same thing with you young people out here. When mom and dad correct you or tell you there's something you got to do, how do you disagree with that? Do you disagree with the spirit of wrath and bitterness? Or do you respond in the spirit of love and peace and joy of the Spirit of God? We need a renewal of that, don't we? We truly do. We're so tempted. God can do that. We're going to pray for it. I'm praying that there will be a rekindling of fervent love for one another in the home. You know, I know we're all going to fall short in this area, but something we should always strive for. Something we should always strive for. Loving one another with a fervent love. And then, of course, protection against the traps of Satan. You know, we got to remember that Satan is a lot smarter than we are. And here's the thing. That's not as a concern as much if we have a close relationship or fellowship with our Lord. But the problem is when we don't have a close fellowship and relationship with our Lord, Satan is going to get us every time because he's smarter than us. So that's why I believe the verse talks about in James, submit yourselves therefore unto the Lord and resist. The first step is submission to the Lord. And then the next step is resist. And a lot of times what we do is we try to forget that first step. And we're constantly trying to resist the devil. But he's smarter than us. And I'm praying that there will be a renewal of us being discerning people when it comes to the traps of Satan. So, here's a few things that we're going to pray about together. Remember Dr. Mike Edwards. We're going to pray for good health. Brother Edwards, just to give you a little background, again, he pastored a church in Woodbridge, Virginia. That's in the suburbs of D.C. For 40 years, he planted the church and pastored. And I think it's a church right now, probably somewhere around the numbers of 400 to 700. I'm not sure, but it's around 400 or 500, I think. But that's where he pastored and is doing very well. Another man came in and took that. He's retired now and traveling around to churches, helping churches. Let's pray for his health. He's in his 60s. His wife won't be with him. So that's always, you know, you need to pray more when the help meet's not there. But we need to pray that liberty in the preaching. We need to pray that God will give him the exact messages that we need. I'm really convinced of that. I just say, Lord, I don't know. There are some things I'd love to tell Brother Edwards. Now, listen, this is what I need, and this is what I think our church needs. But really, you know what? Holy Spirit knows what we need. And so what I like to do is I just like to say, Brother Edwards, just please preach what the Holy Spirit really impresses upon your heart. Let Him guide you even as you come and are around us and preach to us. Just preach it, brother. We want it. We're hungry, and we're going to pray that our hearts are prepared because we truly want the Word of God. And then just pray for the power of God to be on him. And that's what we know he needs, and we know that we need. Also, for our guests and members, you notice I put there just praying for great attendance. We'd love to have people here just from the community, and of course, our members being faithful. Let's pray for that. Prepared hearts, surrender, repentance, encouragement, renewal, answers for difficult situations, reconciliation, unity in the home. These are all supernatural things, aren't they? They really are. But you know, God's will is for us to have each of those things. I believe it's God's will. So we can pray with really confidence tonight. Now, this is the will of God. We don't have to wonder if these things are the will of God. It is. And we can be confident of that with authority. And so as we think of about Hezekiah, I want you to know the rest of the story. They will go in and they do see revival. They do see the temple worship restored. And one of the things that I noticed about this, and something that I think you already know, but let's be reminded. One of the first steps he said, as he was restoring it, before you even get in there and restore the burnt incense, the incense altar, he said, let's get in there and clean house. And that's something we all need to ask the Lord to do in our own hearts. Lord, clean my house, because we are the temple. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we want God to work. We want His power to be manifested. And so let's pray that God would clean house. Even not just in the conference. I'm talking about before the conference. That we will just not come into this conference that anything that would grieve the Holy Spirit of God from working the way He wants to. And so that's something that we will pray about tonight.